The justice system in each state in America was designed to be balanced and blind, as symbolized by the figure of a blindfolded woman holding a right balanced scale. The truth is that the justice system too often favors the highest bidder, and not just a trial with expensive lawyers. The reliance strictly on who can pay bail results in the release of people charged with violent crimes, while those facing nonviolent charges can sit in jail sometimes for up to a year before their trial. My first guest this morning is here to explain the impact of the bail process and place a spotlight on an alternative, which fortunately New Jersey will be embracing in the new year. She is the executive director of the Pretrial Justice System, Charisse Fano-Burdine. Good morning, Charisse.
Good morning.
And pretrial.org is the website for the Pretrial Justice Institute. You know, when we think about money and the judicial system, like I said in the introduction, it pretty much people think about, well, the best lawyer's money can buy once you're in the courtroom. That's where you're out is. But as we saw just recently with the brother of Nicki Minaj, if you have the money, no matter what you did, you can instantly find a get out of jail, well, let's say almost free card.
That's exactly right. So for decades now, we've had this broken system that's been broken at both ends. As you indicated, the folks who have access to money, regardless of the danger they pose, are able to buy their way out. And really are, in some ways, a danger to the community, mostly because they're unsupervised, unmonitored. While people who have potentially committed low-level offenses or nonviolent offenses often are sitting in jail for weeks or months on $500 or $750 bond, which actually costs the taxpayer sometimes 10 times that amount to house them during that period.
Actually, I saw a stat, too, in New Jersey. It cost $30,000 on the average for someone who was incarcerated between the time they were incarcerated until their eventual trial verdict. Each individual cost the state taxpayer $30,000.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of money. And it isn't really just the fiscal impact either on the person or the county or the state. It's really the impact that goes counterintuitive to what we hope would happen, which is that if you have a low-risk person who remains detained during their pretrial status, even after only a couple of days, you begin to see poor outcomes once they are released. They're more likely to commit crimes in the future, and they're less likely to appear for court, even after only about 3 days.
Now, New Jersey did have a system in place, but it was imperfect, and just a fast overview. I forget the exact title, but basically it's fast-tracking for a first offender. The prerequisite is it had to be a nonviolent crime, which brings into question why an NFL player who slapped around his then-fiancé, now-wife, in an elevator in Atlantic City gets fast-tracked into the fast-track program, and a woman from Philadelphia who had a right to carry permit for Pennsylvania mistakenly carried her gun into New Jersey and was facing 10 years in jail until the governor had to intercede after she tried to get into the fast-track three times. It seems like, Charisse, The right ideas, if they're not put into proper practice, are really a waste of time.
Well, I think what you're seeing in New Jersey is a recognition, and I really applaud both the governor and the rest of the system stakeholders who really have pressed this issue in the face of heavy campaign contributions by the commercial surety industry to really put public safety first and foremost in the lives of New Jerseyans. And I think no one in New Jersey would want people who are too dangerous to be released pending trial out, nor I think the public is starting to understand, does it make any sense to keep people who aren't a danger, who are unlikely even to receive jail time as a sentence? Why on earth are we keeping them in jail pre-trial when we could be using those funds and those resources for better?
And the logic dictates, too, if someone can't pony up a $400 fine and they're being thrown in jail for that, if they're that low in any sort of personal finance, how are they going to, you know, escape to a country where we don't have any sort of jurisdiction, for example? I mean, the concept just really gets to the point of ridiculous. We are talking with Charisse Fano-Burdine from the Pretrial Justice System, pretrial.org on the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And referencing what Charisse was alluding to, this was something that there was a Joint Commission on Criminal Justice that Chief Justice Stuart Rabiner here in New Jersey was chairing, and it was a pretty representative of all three branches of the government. They issued the report just over a year ago, March of 2014, recommended that state transition from a resource-based to a risk-based method for determining pretrial release. Legislation passed. Governor Christie signed the law, and it adopted many of the committee's recommendations, went to before the voters of New Jersey. They approved a constitutional amendment restricting the use of pretrial detention to limited cases in which the defendant has been identified as a serious public safety and or flight risk. And the new law, such as laws go, it's not always fast, but effective by the sound of it at least, will go into effect on January 1st of 2017. And, Charisse, it's kind of surprising, too. This is an idea that there's not a lot of other states that are taking this on. It's only New Jersey and two other states, if I'm understanding correctly.
Well, actually, because pretrial detention has always been typically a county function, it's the county jail that people are booked into, it has taken some time for stakeholders at the state level to really understand the impact they could have on affecting jail policy from the state level. So while New Jersey and Kentucky and Colorado and other states are taking the lead at the state level, I think what you've seen over the last 5 years in particular is a large movement at the county level across the country to really take a look at these issues. And I'm proud to say, having been a part of the work in New Jersey over the last couple of years, a small part supporting your statewide drug policy alliance organization who really helped a lot of this work at the state level. New Jersey actually was the inspiration for a campaign that we've recently launched called 3 Days Count, where we are calling on states to really take up this issue in the same way that you have in New Jersey, to reduce the number of arrests, replace the cash bail system, and restrict detention to only those who pose the most danger.
I was looking at some of the stats regarding the counties in the three states that have the risk assessment program put into place, and it's only rough figures, about 10% of courts actually use risk assessments, but the number of the prison population down, and as an addendum to that, the cost to the county as well as the state, that goes down. They have streamlines the trial process. I mean, there's really far more benefits, and I can't imagine any negative concept that can come from this.
You know, at this time of year, I think your listeners are probably starting to think about New Year's resolutions, right? And for me, this is a very common sense solution to a problem. It's just like if you were looking at the new year and saying, I'd really like to improve my health, we all know what to do. You eat a little bit better, and you start exercising a little bit more. And in many ways, those are common sense solutions. You don't have to have a very complicated analysis by your doctor to take all of your readings. You can simply start to eat better and exercise more. Moving from a risk resource-based to a risk-based system is one of those common sense ideas, and I'm glad to see some other jurisdictions are starting to realize that now.
Few of the stats, half of the most dangerous people arrested in the country are using the cash bail system to get out of jail without monitoring or supervision. And that's violent crimes, everything from, I think, Nicki Minaj's brother is a charging of first-degree sexual conduct against a child. This is over in Nassau County. More than 60% of people in American jails are unconvicted. Public Radio recently did a report that's much like the $300, $400, $500 fines that people can't pay, and they wind up going in jail for. Again, if you have someone who is of good heart and you put them in a negative climate, well, their good heart is still a human heart and it's still a human mind. There are people who are going to be exposed to a negative element that will become a part of the negative element.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stats that you reference are really important for people to understand. This is not simply about saving money. This is about producing better outcomes. And much like we all want our children to spend time with people who bring out the best in them and not the kid who's likely to get them in trouble, keeping low-risk people in jail pre-trial before they've even been convicted of anything exposes them to a criminogenic effect of jail. It destabilizes their life. We spend in this country a lot of money trying to reattach people to the three things that keep them stable when they get out of prison: a job, their family, and some stable housing. And those are the three things that get disrupted in those first couple of days when you first go into jail. It's a very serious thing to do with a person, and we should save that for the people that we're scared of, not the people we're mad at.
Certainly, we don't want to excuse any missteps, mistakes, or hazardous judgments that too many people, unfortunately, do make, but has to be balanced with an understanding of if someone is genuinely regretful of a nonviolent incident, they should be allowed the opportunity to make amends and face the penalties to be sure, but not be subjected to unfair treatment and in turn putting themselves at further risk. And that's really one of the foundations that the public safety assessment, which is going to be implemented in New Jersey starting in January 2017. And if you're listening on the stream all throughout the country, it is an idea that you certainly, I believe at least, would want to urge your court system where you are to put into place, because it makes a difference. It makes the system more streamlined and puts the proper focus on the criminal justice system, on the violent criminals, and protects the public at the same time. Learn more about the work of the pretrial justice system. Their website is pretrial.org. And we've been joined by their executive director, Charisse Fano-Burdine. Charisse, thanks so much for the advocacy you presented for New Jersey and elsewhere for the public safety assessment and other programs to make the system fair. Thanks for being here this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.